Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word. The Emperor Valens sent messengers to lure Eusebius into heresy by fair words and glowing promises. Eusebius answered them, "Alas, sirs, these fair speeches are fit to catch children, but we who are taught and nourished by the sacred scriptures are ready to suffer 1,000 deaths rather than permit one tittle of the scriptures to be altered." Then the emperor threatened to take by force all his goods, to torture him, to banish him, and even kill him. Answered the courageous Christian, "He needs no fear of confiscation who has nothing to lose, nor banishment to whom heaven is his home, nor torments when his body can be destroyed at one blow, nor death, which is the only way to set him at liberty from sin and sorrow." Well, what could the emperor do with a person like that? Yes, down through the years, Christians have been persecuted in various ways. In our studies this time in the book of Acts, we're going to be looking at the first century church and some of the things that happened to them. We're on lesson 6 and page 3 for those of you who have the study materials. We want all of you to have these study notes, so be sure to get our address at the close of the program. Just now, we pick up the story in the 11th chapter of Acts. Let's read verse 19. That's Acts 11, 19. "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone." Before Saul was saved, he caused such a bitter persecution against the Christians that many left Jerusalem. This turned out to be a good thing, because everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. However, as you probably noticed in verse 19, they preached only to the Jews. They had not yet learned the lesson that Peter had been taught, that God was equally ready to save the Gentiles. As the gospel was preached, a large number who believed turned to the Lord. This news got back to Jerusalem, and then they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas's name means son of encouragement. He certainly lived up to his name. We read that he also went to Tarsus to look for Saul, so that he too could help in the work. You'll recall that Saul was at his hometown of Tarsus. And so for a whole year in Antioch, Barnabas and Saul taught the people the word of Christ. And we're told an interesting sidelight that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Then came some prophets from Jerusalem, including Agabus, who said that there would be a great famine. So the disciples decided to send some money to Jerusalem to help the poor believers there. They chose Saul and Barnabas to take this money to the elders of the church there. These people had been helped spiritually by the believers in Jerusalem, so they wished to help them with material things. It surely is a reminder that we should be concerned about the needs of others. Though spiritual needs are the greatest, we must also be aware of other needs. May we be sensitive to the problems of those around us, yes, even around the world, and then do something about it.
Thank you.
are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're just ready to look at Acts chapter 12. Before we do, we want you to know that we're glad that you're listening. We want to learn to know you better, so we're asking that you write to us this week. Send us your question, comment, or criticism. In turn, we'll write to you, send you helpful literature, and more information on this course that we're studying. So be sure to be ready to take down our address at the close of the program. Acts chapter 12 begins with these words. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Acts 12, verses 1 and 2. There are three kings in the New Testament called Herod. The first was reigning when Jesus was born and tried to kill him that was born king of the Jews, because he wanted to be king himself. Another Herod was ruler of Galilee when Jesus was crucified. The Herod spoken of in our verses we've just looked at was grandson of the first, and shared with both of them a fierce hatred of everyone connected with the name of Christ. Here we see him, without any cause, killing James with a sword. At the time, Herod thought that he was very successful. He also proceeded to imprison Peter. He did this to please the Jews. How many have fallen into sin just because they wish to please people? Just to be safe, he put Peter under the care of 16 soldiers. But the church was praying for Peter. In answer to prayer, God sent an angel to bring him out. Peter was so full of confidence and peace that even though he was to stand trial the next day, we find him fast asleep. The angel told him to get up and follow him. The chains fell off his hands, and the great prison doors opened by themselves. The angel brought Peter out into the street and then left him. At first, Peter could hardly believe what had taken place. But when he did, he knew that he was free again. Right away, he went to the place where the believers were. Here it was the middle of the night, and these people were earnestly praying to God for Peter. Yet when their prayer is so wonderfully answered by God, and Peter appears at the door, they find it difficult to believe that God has really heard them. Their faith was not very strong, yet God honored it. There's an important lesson here about faith. It's not the amount of our faith that counts. It's the object of our faith that makes a difference. Our faith may be weak, but our God is not weak. He is all-powerful. Someone has said, faith sees the invisible and receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible and receives the impossible. It was a very great crime for a guard to let his prisoner escape. It was assumed that the prisoner had given him a large gift to let him get away. In the Roman Empire, if a guard did not keep his prisoner, he could be put to death. Actually, Herod was afraid. He had a good idea that these Christians really knew the power of God. He did not believe the guard's story and ordered that they should be put to death. Many people seem to get away with their sins for a long time. However, in this case, we see the judgment of God soon falling on Herod for his wickedness. Let's look together at those verses in Acts 12, beginning with verse 21. And on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, "The voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. That was Acts 12, verses 21 through 23. We can be sure that all who resist God and reject Christ will someday be judged for it. It is sometimes hard to understand when wicked people seem to prosper. But we can be sure that God is aware of everything that happens, and that someday he will settle accounts. The story here of Herod is a sure indication. The chapter closes with Barnabas, Saul, and Mark. The persecution which killed James and put Peter into prison ended when God judged the wicked Herod. Despite Satan's efforts, the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul had come from Antioch to Jerusalem to bring money for the Christians there. When they finished this work, they went back to Antioch. With them they took a young man named John Mark. His family owned a large home where the Christians had met together for prayer. He had been impressed with these things and had a real desire to serve the Lord. He was a nephew of Barnabas. We'll hear more about him as we move through the book of Acts. At this time, though, we're going to have to close our books. The verses that we've looked at during this study have had a great deal to do with persecution. The chapter ends in victory and blessing. And this is really the way God works. There may be times of great discouragement and suffering for believers. Possibly you're going through such a time just now. Remember, God is still on the throne. He has a way of making it all come out right. In fact, His blessings go far beyond all the testings. But remember, He makes the timetable. Someone has said, "I would rather trust God in the dark than walk alone in the light." Next time, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 13 and beyond. Be sure to read these chapters in the meantime. And for those of you who have the Bible study notes, be sure to do the exam that covers lessons 5 and 6 at this time, and mail them to us. Again, let me say that we're glad that you've been listening. This has been the Emmaus Bible Hour.